our first game. I'm going to give you a date right now. 23rd of August. Holy moly! We're a month away from opening season or opening day here on WGTD Sports.
Crazy.
Yeah. What can you say? As the summer feels like it's flying by, let's talk Green Bay Packers. Draft is done.
Yeah.
They picked up a couple of people on free agency, couple of guys.
One you're not happy about. One you're...
How do you feel about this? How,
well,
Larry,
we talked about that last time.
Yeah,
on
but
the
how
air,
do you feel now going? It's all done.
Yeah.
Although, let's talk about Melvin. Melvin Gordon, there's all types of rumors. There are more rumors than there are snowflakes in the sky in January that Melvin Gordon is looking at the Green Bay Packers. He's not happy. And they're not offering him a long-term contract in San Diego.
Right. Well, as we're taping this program, he has a 7-on-7 flag football tomorrow, and I've got a chance to get a 1-on-1 with Melvin there. I'm going to ask him what's going on. I personally think he's using this as a little bit of leverage. He's always been a Packer fan. He's made no bones about
that.
He's
a Kenosha kid.
Well, yeah, but he's always liked the Green Bay Packers.
Yep.
But right now he's making the rookie minimum. He is critical to their offense. He's in the top echelon of running backs. He wants to get paid.
I agree with it.
Absolutely. Yeah. You got to understand that these guys' career is 3 to 5 years as running back.
And one hit to the knees can end the career.
Well, and he's already had health issues 2 seasons ago. So he's big. He's strong. He's ready to go. And I don't blame Melvin for wanting to get paid. He's a proven commodity now, and not only for the Chargers but for the NFL. So personally, I think he's using that as a little bit of leverage for Green Bay, but Green Bay's made no movement at all in that.
But see, okay.
And I think it's part of the contract he's got with
San Diego, but see, this is where I'm going. Usually the Green Bay Packers, when there's this type of rumor, this many rumors, they're like, hey, guys, it's not true. You've heard nothing out of the Green Bay Packers. Zero, zippo, kabosh.
Well, he'd be number one if they did pull it off. He'd be the central back.
Yeah. He would. But the idea here is, in my mind, they are being so quiet because it is a possibility. They are trying to put something together. This is my, in the back of my mind and the little thoughts that are running around. That would take an incredible amount of pressure off of Rodgers. It would take a great amount of pressure off of that offensive line. The Packers that I'm looking and saying, right now I'm saying they're 6-10 coming into the 2019 season. They are a 12-6 team with having Melvin Gordon as running back. Wow, what a difference if that were to happen.
You think six more wins? Well, here's the issue. What kind of money could Green Bay offer to Mr. Gordon?
Well,
he's going to take, $6 to $7 million a year?
No, I'm thinking it's close to $9 million.
Do you think $9 million?
$9 million. He's not. What's Gordon, 27?
You throw that around like it's just a number. You know?
It is just a number. I'd never see it. He's what, 27?
Yeah, at least
26,
that.
27.
He's pretty young.
He's got from now until he's 30. There's a magical number with running backs at 30 years old is when normally they start to decrease in yield and the amount of money that they're able to command starts to go down with them as well.
Yeah, so this is why this is all transpiring now. And this is why I give Melvin and his agent a lot of credit.
Yeah.
Go get it now.
Yep.
And like you said, 3 to maybe 4 more years, and he could be on the downside of it. But he's made that money, and he's set for the rest of his life,
exactly.
And so is his family.
And
so.
Good for them.
Yeah, absolutely.
As we see, they're going to be. I'm going to throw this out there. End of August, I'm reading that their sports bar that will be opening in downtown Kenosha should be opening up. It's called Gordon's. We'll see. We've got to go down. You and I will talk about it.
That's going to be a good time.
Yeah, it will be a very good time. Green Bay Packers in a minute, 30 seconds. What do you see as they go into preseason? We're, 9 or 10 days away from no pads. So what do you think?
Well, I think, in my opinion, I think Green Bay, it's going to come down to that offensive wide receiver unit, their pass-catching unit. You've got Adams. You've got Geronimo Allen. You've got and everybody else.
Yes.
So you've got a kid from Whitewater, Kumerick.
Kumerick, who got hurt scoring a touchdown preseason last year. I love this kid. To me, he's the highlight, the absolute highlight of the receiving corps.
Yeah, well, and Rodgers loved them last year. Because remember, going to the beginning of that season, right. Rodgers was highly critical of that receiving unit. In fact, he called them lazy.
Right.
So now, give another year under those guys. Adams is your go-to guy now. So I think, really, for Green Bay, it's going to come down to LaFleur's offensive system. We've heard great things coming out of camp of that. Rodgers has been a tremendous amount of praise for that. And but he said it gives him different looks and he can make those reads quicker.
Is he allowed to audible? That's the big argument here, is that they're being told that the Green Bay Packers' current system does not allow Rodgers to audible at the line of scrimmage. A lot of things have been coming out of the coach talking about, well, we're going to make some changes. You've got, in my mind, unquestionably, the best, most intelligent quarterback in the NFL, maybe the history of the NFL. I would put him up with
Joe Montana? Johnny Unitas?
Joe Montana, definitely. And then you go just retired out of Denver.
Oh, John Elway? No, you're thinking of Peyton Manning.
Peyton Manning, who could – I just couldn't think of Manning.
Peyton Manning was brilliant.
And he had the ability to audible at the line.
Yeah.
That's what Rodgers does better than anybody right now in football. Yeah. And the idea that if you take that away from the Green Bay Packers, 6-10, unless there is a major move, there's no offense. They're going to have a great defense.
Oh, their defense is going to be outstanding.
Yeah, so. I say they're going to have a top 10 defense, but they're going to have a bottom 10 offense if there's nobody for Rodgers to be able to hold on to the ball.
So there's two things in my mind. They're both offense. It's going to be that receiving core. It's going to be that offensive line. That offensive guy is still a little older. Bakhtiari, what kind of year is he going to put together? Is he healthy? He's critical to that offensive line.
Depth?
Depth, or
lack thereof.
And so it all revolves around protecting Aaron Rodgers and who Aaron Rodgers can throw the football to. And I think some of those rookies are going to come in, and they're just – I just have a feeling because from their OTAs, these guys were to the wall. I mean, they just were fast. They were furious, and everybody was scratching their heads coming out of there saying – man, if this is the offense, look out.
Well, if they can actually hold on to the ball on a full sprint, they're going to score a lot of points.
Yep. OTAs and real thing are two different, right?
Isn't that the truth? Okay, Larry.
Yes.
High school football.
I would love it.
Oh, it is time.
Purest form of football there is in America.
You got it. Yeah, everybody says, Bob, high school, college, pros. I'm like, you love the sport, it's high school.
Absolutely.
What do you think? Where are we in the city of Kenosha? What are we looking at? Next month, we're going to be having more talk about going into the season. But right now, before we've seen anybody, what's your initial thought?
Well, my initial thought is we've got coaches that are McGranahan at Trimper. You got Bowett at Bradford. Bowett, the youngest, not in age-wise, but of the experience. I expect those two teams – to have to and will make a big move this year. Both teams had great underclassmen. Their freshman class and JV teams did very well. The JV team under John Lynn at Tremper, I believe, were undefeated.
Yeah.
And they scored a ton of points. They're in the system now. And we know that because when the coach comes in, new coach comes in, he wants to run the system, he has to get it all the way down to the freshmen. Sometimes the eighth graders at the feeder programs. But they get to start running that. I think you're going to see that now with Trippers should be solid. Bradford should be solid. Indian Trail's kind of the wild card for me because I don't know who they've got coming back that's going to make an impact. They graduated quite a few very good players last year.
They were the better of the three teams last year.
But they got rid of a lot of good kids.
Welcome to high school because of graduation.
And that's the thing with high school. You never know who's going to be there. I remember my senior year, we thought, boy, we're going to have this kid and this kid and this kid. Never. They said, no, I'm done. I'm going to go play. I'm going to play. Concentrate on playing baseball or basketball. They did not come up
for
football.
Or mom and dad move.
Or they move.
Right.
Yeah. So it happens. But I expect the city teams, especially Bradford and Tremper, to be much stronger this year. I really do. Now we get down to the county. Wilmot's always good.
They are.
It's just crazy how every year they put it together. Lake Geneva Badger the same way. They just seem to.
They grow them big out there.
I think, and like you had pointed before we started taping this, was it's almost like it's this confined environment where they get the best kids because they don't have to compete with other schools. I mean, for kids leaving. Here we got three.
Right.
So it's Badger will be good. Wilmot will be good. We get to see them our first game. It's exciting time of the year for me because I love football. I love high school football. I get a chance to work with you again this year till our buddy Bill keeps me.
Well, we should tell everybody now, Bill will be back.
Yes.
Not necessarily right away in a speaking role. He'll be back. We know that. But he will be with us. He is cancer-free, Bill Fritsch.
That's awesome.
They just got done a month ago doing a PET scan. He is completely cancer-free. Mm. He's doing awesome. He's doing everything he's supposed to be able to be able to talk properly so he can get back on the air. We have faith, and nobody has more faith than Bill Fritsch, and we look forward to him having that opportunity.
Yeah, he and Kenosha, he's been doing this. You guys have been doing this for
this
a very
is
long time.
This year 17.
So you guys are kind of have been become the face of the broadcast for high school football, and a lot of people out there say, "Hey, Larry, I really enjoyed you doing the broadcast. How's Bill?" That's the next thing, I swear, that's the next thing.
That's a great compliment.
How's Bill? Yeah. So I tell him he's doing great. He'll be back. Like I tell Bill all the time, I'm just keeping a seat warm for you, buddy. But I'm anxious to get started and get going. And
the nice thing is there is a place for you. Larry Reitler's not going anywhere. Yeah. When Bill comes back, Larry will be – there are times in which Bill or I may be gone. He'll take our spot. Otherwise, he'll be down on the field doing what he does best, talking to all the coaches and getting into the nitty-gritty of what's going on down there. So you brought it up. First game of the season, 23rd of August, and that will be Indian Trail versus Wilmot at Wilmot. You heard it here now first, and we're looking so forward to that game. 7 p.m. Friday night, the 23rd, ITA at and Wilmot at Wilmot.
Yeah, great facility, great for us, a great booth to broadcast from.
You just like the food.
I love the food. You know. They always take care of you out of Wilmot.
They do.
But it's a great football, high school football environment.
Yes.
The kids won't be back yet, so that's always a little iffy. Indian Trail travels so well. They're
going to
have a ton of people.
But what I love about Wilmot is that they, because of that small town atmosphere, it doesn't matter if it's going back to school. They're going to fill those bleachers for opening night.
Oh, absolutely.
And that's always an exciting. It's like when we used to go to Burlington in the old Burlington Stadium, downtown Burlington, and they'd fill it up. I don't care if it was in the middle of January or if it was in the middle of July. Whatever happened in that stadium would fill it up because it's a small town, very close. Everybody knew each other, and great things that came from that.
Yeah, I remember back in the late 80s, early 90s, I was broadcasting out Lake Geneva games. They actually had a parade coming into the stadium for Lake Geneva.
Yes, absolutely.
It was. That kind of knocked me out, but that's the small town environment that you're talking about.
So we will be there on the 23rd. I think you're right. I think that Wilmot will again shine. I think there's a lot of opportunities there. The last 2 years, we've seen Lake Geneva hit a plateau. Remember, they went to the state semifinals 2 years before that.
Yeah.
And they just couldn't get over the hump type of deal. Then they had people graduate. It's really nice to see they've been able to, even though they were graduating, they've been able to stay in the playoffs. Does Kenosha Tremper, who's been out of the playoffs for a couple of years, Bradford, who's had problems getting into the playoffs, I love Coach Bow. Everybody knows for a disclosure here. We went to high school together, class of 84. In 2 weeks, by the way, 35th high school reunion.
Man, you're old.
Yeah, no kidding. But the
where's that put me?
Ancient. If I'm old, you're ancient. So, but the idea is that he is so defensive oriented.
Oh yeah.
And defense wins championships.
Well, he's an ex-wrestler. That's
yes.
why.
Well, he loves to hit people. So, and he was a good one at that. Yeah, he also played a great defensive back when he played in high school, Rod Davies.
Yeah.
But the idea was that, or is that, he's going to bring a defense that will just have that killer instinct for Kenosha Bradford. ITA, again, you said it. We're going to see who comes back and how they're able to really come back and see what's going on. St. Joe's is really up and down. I remember St. Joe's when we started 16, 17 years ago in the Freund era.
Powerful.
That they were consistently one of the two or three best athletic schools in the state of Wisconsin, and I would put them in maybe as far as the private Catholic schools, one of the top 10 in the United States. That has really fallen off in years as of late, as we've seen overall enrollment go down. That's a shame. They not only academically really are second to none, but their sports and where they sent these kids on full ride scholarships really missed, and we missed doing those type of games.
Yeah, and like you said, Bob, it was St. Joe's. It's just sheer numbers. I remember back, boy, again, in the late 80s, early 90s, just one kid after another went D1. They were just so good. I'd almost like to throw this out there. I don't think it will ever happen, because we've got two parochial schools, if you would, in Kenosha. We've got Christian Life, and we've got St. Joe's. I'd almost like, because it's a numbers with them, they've had to cancel their seasons because they don't have enough kids. I would love to see them combine teams somehow and maybe call it, Christian Life / St. Joe's. Other schools do it. Messmer does it.
Right.
A lot of schools do it. I would love
St. Catherine's in Racine has done some combining with
sports. I would love to see that and combine those two talents, two schools. You know, it doesn't come down to theology at all.
Right.
But it comes down to, you know, numbers.
And allowing these young people.
Kids to be able to play.
That's right.
Yeah.
And to be competitive while they're able to do
it. And Shoreland has no problem with the new rules with Shoreland. Their sports teams are fantastic.
They are.
And they're adding on a $10 million facility into that building.
That is going to be an incredible facility when it's done. Okay. Update. Two things that we need to talk about. We touched on it briefly. Bill Fritsch, we miss you. We give your thumbs up. He will be back. He will be at every game until he's done with his occupational therapy, the speaking. Now, again, he lost his whole lower jaw to cancer about 8 months ago.
Yeah.
So they have rebuilt that. He is learning to talk again. This is amazing. It is an amazing story of hope and of faith and of a man that is coming out of it the other end, that he will be sharing that with us when he comes back, I'm sure. And we're so looking forward to have him back with us from game one. The other side, and it really sad week in sports in Kenosha.
Yeah, we lost an icon in the city at too young of an age, 53 years old. Frank Matrice Jr. passed away, and
cancer.
He battled it for a long time. In fact, I got the wristband on. It says "Forever Coach," forever our coach, fighting with Frankie. I've known Frank his whole life, and his dad was one of my first broadcast partners, Frank Matrice Sr. And he kept telling me about his kid. You know,
right?
And when Frank came up through the coaching ranks at St. Joe's and then to Tremper, he had a revolutionary style of. He just had a cerebral part of the game.
He understood football at a higher level.
He really did, Bob, because, you know, most coaches, it's physical, pound, pound, pound. you had to think through when you played football for Coach Matrice, and the kids liked him. He had a lot of success, obviously, and he you know meant to a state championship, lost to Marshfield then.
Yep.
But they so we talk about the coaching prowess of him. Yesterday, if you were able to go to his wake, I stood in line for 2.5 hours.
Yeah,
you stood for
three hours.
So it was, and I when senior shook my hand and we talked a little bit, and he says, "Larry, what are you going to do?" And I said, "Look behind you."
Yeah.
And he said, "I said this is a testament to a man's life, because people just kept coming. They kept coming and coming because they wanted to pay their respects and honor him."
Yes.
And when I was there, I couldn't believe how many students were there.
Oh yeah.
And so you think, well, not all these kids were football players.
Didn't have to be.
But he was at what? He was the dean of students.
He was.
He impacted them.
Let me share a 30-second story. My son, Christian, state wrestler, he was on the team from Kenosha Tremper, the only team that went to state. And they were going to – he was a freshman, and they were going to have a protest walkout at the school. Something was going on with the teachers. The students were going to walk out. I got a phone call from Frank. Frank Matrice called me and said, "Bob, your kid's going to walk out. I pulled him out. He's in the office right now. If he goes, he's not eligible for state." State was 3 days later.
Oh, man.
I'm like, I'll be there. I went in, and literally, he's looking at my son saying, sit down now. And, of course, my son did it, and my son's like, "What's going on, Dad? You've always told us to stand up for what you believe in." And I said, "Did you ask the coach why?" And he goes, "Well," I said, "then why don't you ask him?" And he looked, and coach looked at him and said, "You're ineligible if you walk out that door." And there's like seven other wrestlers in there.
Oh, man.
He had pulled the whole team into the office because he knew what a big deal. And everybody's jaw just dropped because nobody knew what the ramifications were. But he did. He, again, cerebral. He understood not only the game but all the rules and how you deal with the WIAA and the whole bit. It's a huge loss for Kenosha.
Yeah.
It's a huge loss for sports, but it's a huge loss for his family and to the kids of Kenosha, 53 years old.
Yeah, I know.
What can you say?
Well, and both his kids, Kyle is an outstanding football player, baseball
yes.
player. Katie is, we saw her in the holiday tournament. She's terrific.
Great basketball player, can shoot from the outside.
Oh, my goodness.
And there was nobody prouder than their dad
oh,
watching them play.
So, and, you know, Grandma and Grandpa, I get to see them quite often. And I know yesterday they were going through the heartbreaking of it, and I just was able to hug their neck. And, you know, knowing these people for as long as I have and knowing Frank as long as I have, it kind of hit me yesterday, and it really hit me going home because people just kept coming.
Oh, yeah.
They just kept coming, and I'm thinking – you know, if you ever want to look back at your life and think, boy, what did I do? What did I? Did I impact anybody? It's unfortunate that you're not to be able to see it at your death, in your funeral.
Yeah.
But the family is, and everybody else is. And they say, boy, when you think about Frank, and I remember how many times I interviewed Frank, and he
yeah.
would say, because my son actually played football for him, and he would say, "Hey, how's Austin?" And I'd say, "Well, you know, he's married. You know, he's got my three granddaughters. How's those granddaughters?" He always turned it. He was more excited and interested about your life than he
yeah.
was his. And he was always a great interview.
Oh,
he always was candid.
Well,
he told you the way it was. And
very honest, man.
Very honest.
You know, and not always to what people liked.
Right.
You know, but he would say, "This. What am I supposed to say? It's the truth. It's the way it is." He'd kind of do that shoulder shrug.
Yeah. Yeah.
And do this type of deal.
Yeah, and he'd say, "Yeah, we're not playing good ball right now. We've got to get more energy, and I hope this game we can get it." But, yeah, he was always honest with you, and I could always get him to laugh. I will tell you a quick story. We were doing a broadcast one time with another station, and as I'm walking down the field, this is when we used to do TV, we're going to do a Tremper game, and by then he was assistant coach, And I had the PA guy, because Frank was a huge Notre Dame fan.
Oh, yeah, big time.
I had the PA guy. So Frank knew I was coming. I had the PA guy play the Michigan fight song for him as I'm walking down. And he just looks at me and just – and I did the same thing to his dad all the time. But I'd get down in the field, and it was always the week of the Michigan, you know, Notre Dame game. And boy, we'd give each other crap, and we'd have little side bets and –
yeah.
And it was the best time, but it was good-hearted nature, bumping. But I'm gonna miss him. I was looking at the last text that I had with him, and we were kind of jabbing at each other a little bit, I'm gonna miss the guy. I'm gonna miss his smile and his contagious laugh, but he lives on through Kyle and Katie, and it'll be anxious and fun to watch them play. And Kyle's a monster. I don't know if you've seen.
Yeah,
he's huge.
Yeah.
And when I hugged him yesterday, I said, obviously the season's going to go for Dad, right? He goes, oh yeah, it's going to be a fun year. So I'm looking forward to him playing. So
let's give a recap. If you're looking for football, it starts in about a month. The 23rd of August will be Indian Trail against Wilmon at Wilmont. It's going to be an absolutely terrific game. We'll be talking about football. We'll have another of these get-togethers between now and then and talk with some coaches, as well as we're going to be talking Racine football and be able to talk about, you know, what's going on there. Until then, time out with Bob Hegarty.
Support comes from Hospice Alliance, presenting Kimberly Paul, author of Bridging the Gap, Life Lessons from the Dying, Wednesday, August 7th at 5:30 p.m. at the Kenosha Women's Club. Admission is free. You'll leave both enlightened and entertained. For more, visit hospicealliance.org.
Support comes from the Bristol Renaissance Fair. Eat, drink, and be merry. Succulent treats, sinful sweets, dashing and clashing nights, music and laughter. The Bristol Renaissance Fair is open weekends through Labor Day, located just west of I-94, near the state line.
Support for WGTD comes from Jack Andrea. Visit jackandrea.com to shop their exclusive hometown collection, including Kenosha t-shirts, sweatshirts, mugs, books, and more. Jack Andrea, Kenosha's hometown store since 1911.
Jazz, swing, blues, bop, and more is available 24 hours a day on your desktop, laptop, smartphone, or radio. To access 24/7 Jazz WGTD on your computer, go to WGTD.org, where you can listen live, online, 24 hours a day. On your smartphone, download the free WGTD app. In the Kenosha Racine area, 24/7 Jazz WGTD HD2 is available via HD radio. For more information, call 262-564-3030.
Support for WGTD comes from Piasecki Funeral Home, hosting Grief Share, a 13-week support group program for adults grieving the death of someone close. Every Wednesday from August 7th through October 30th, 5:30 to 7:30 p.m. To register, call Ann at 262-658-4101.
Support comes from Kenosha Harbor Market, featuring the Shalom Center, Kenosha's emergency family shelter that provides food, a safe place to sleep, transportation assistance, and case management, along with a soup kitchen and a food pantry. Learn more at their booth. This is WGTD-FM. You're listening to Education Matters, the only weekly broadcast in southeastern Wisconsin devoted exclusively to a discussion of local educational issues. Education Matters is co-hosted by Dwayne Olson, a retired member of the teacher education faculty at UW-Parkside, Karen Sconsert, an associate professor of education at Carthage College, Jess Sheeler, an outreach and career transition specialist at Job Corps, Steve Brown, assistant professor of education leadership at UW Oshkosh, and former Kenosha Unified School Superintendent Joe Manji. Now, here's today's Education Matters moderator.
Good morning, everyone. This is WGTD HD 91.1 Gateway, and this is Joe Manji and Troy McDonald for Education Matters, our Saturday morning program. Thank you for listening in this morning as we take time out to recognize people.